Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to do a quick one about Natalie Holloway. So we'll do a recap and we'll do a little bit on the original case. But it's pretty much because there's been some new developments and we wanted to kind of let y'all know about it. So we'll start back on May 26th of 2005. Natalie Holloway and around 122 classmates, along with seven chaperones, arrived in Aruba for a trip to celebrate their high school graduation. They spent their time on the beach, gambling in the casino, and since the drinking age in Aruba is 18, they spent some time in the clubs. And this is where she met Buron Vandersloot and his friends, who were brothers, Deepak and Satish. And on May 30th of 2005, at around 1:30 a.m., her classmates say that she left a restaurant / bar, and as they were waiting for the shuttle that goes back to their hotel to arrive and pick them up, one of her friends turned around in time to see Natalie get into the car with Buron, Deepak, and Satish. Now, since Natalie was known as the responsible one in the group, they figured that she was just catching a ride with them back to the hotel. The next day, when everyone got up and were getting ready to leave and head back to the state, they noticed that Natalie was not there. They couldn't miss their flight, so they went to the airport and called Natalie's parents from there.
So as they was leaving, Natalie's parents booking their flight to Aruba. I mean, honestly, I would do the same thing, because I mean, that's your child. So I mean, you gotta see what's going on.
100%. Yeah, they were coming to find out, because all those other kids, I can see, you know, you can't miss your flight. You got to come home. But what do you do when you're away from home, out of the country, and then somebody just goes missing? Like, well, that's got to be scary.
And another thing, it's kind of screwed up that the school still, because, I mean, who's the sponsors?
Yeah, it was a school trip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you know, around here, you know, school trip, you know, it's sponsored. So, I mean, who's the sponsors? One of the sponsors has stayed back.
Anyone, yeah, I mean, anybody could. But, there were seven adults.
And this might have been a private book trip.
It could have been. It could have been. But, I mean, when you got 123 high school graduates, it's coming back. I mean, it's a school trip.
Yeah, true.
It seems that way anyway. But on June 9th of 2005, Buron, Deepak, and Satish were arrested and questioned in Natalie's disappearance. They said that they dropped Natalie off at her hotel around 2 a.m., which was only 30 minutes after they left the restaurant. And the brothers were released in July, only to be rearrested in August. But all of them ended up being released from custody in September.
Now, wasn't their dad like some kind of city official?
Buron's dad had ties. I'm not sure exactly what he did, but he did have ties in the community for sure.
Yeah, which would explain why they got released and
they kept releasing them and rearresting them and releasing them and rearresting them.
So that was just a little, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was some kind of city official or something to do with the law side of it or whatever. So that was just a little background on that.
Right. There was definitely some affiliation there. I'm just not quite sure where it was, but he would have had some pull for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So in November of 2007, they were arrested again. But the brothers were released early December for lack of evidence, with Buron being released December 7th. But this time, the case was completely dismissed on all of them by December 18th, and that's when the case went cold. But between March and May of 2010, this asshole Buron contacted Natalie's mom, Beth, saying he would tell her where Natalie's body was if they gave him $250,000, of which he wanted a $25,000 down payment. And the Holloways paid the down payment. And he told Holloway's lawyer that Natalie had hit her head on a rock and died, but he couldn't tell them where her body was. Now, this confession and every other confession that he gave over the years was as fake as he was. He fled from Aruba and headed to Peru before they could charge him with extortion. He told so many different stories over the years of what happened, some to the police, some in different stings that were set up where he thought he was just talking to a friend. One story was that she had had a seizure. One story was that she started throwing up and he let her choke on her own vomit. One was that the three boys left her on the beach alive and well. And one was that they dropped her off at the front door of her hotel. And there were also many places he gave as to where her body actually was, or even how he had disposed of it. So you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth, but do you know how they could tell he was lying?
Them lips are flapping.
That's right, that mouth is moving. And every time he opened his mouth, it was a different story to different people. And some stories even involved his dad, like you were saying, like his dad had helped him.
Yeah. Ugh, and his dad even did some prison time for something.
He did before he died. He had also went to jail too. Yeah. It was an unrelated case, but
I think that's kind of where their pool ended.
Yeah, I'd say so. But some of these stories involved like a crematorium. So apparently the dad had a friend who had a crematorium that owed him a favor, and they were able to take her body there and have it cremated. And then they mixed some of her bones with dog bones, and some person had a bone, and they brought it to the cops at some point, and they tested it, but it wasn't Natalie's. They think it might have been another woman that disappeared under similar circumstances. So there's a lot of things out there, but none of them ever led them to Natalie.
Yeah, and he kept the bones just for like a collateral, or not collateral.
Blackmail purposes.
Yeah, in case he tried to come at him with, or they tried to come at him with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was keeping them saying...
Insurance, I guess,
insurance is what you'd say. Yeah, insurance is what it would be.
Yeah, come at me and guess what?
Yeah, I got this.
And I wonder if that's what made him come forward. I wonder if there was some kind of, maybe Euron's story got a little too close to home and he was like, okay, maybe. Look what I got. But most of the bones were dogs. So there's, all of his stories have some little lining of truth.
Yeah.
Which is what they say is the best lie, is to have as much truth in there as you can. But 5 years to the day of Natalie's disappearance on May 30th of 2010, Euron met Stephanie Flores Ramirez in Lima. She was there playing in a poker tournament. They went back to his hotel room where they reportedly went to play online poker. Now, somehow an online message popped up. Some stories report it was an instant message through the game, like a chat feature. And some say that it was an email straight to Euron. But either way, they called him a mongoloid, which I'm not sure how that relates to the Natalie Holloway case. But that did prompt Euron to explain to Stephanie his role in Natalie's investigation. Which, of course, this started an argument. And Stephanie actually hit him, causing him to lose control. He elbowed her in the face, causing her head to hit the wall, and blood went everywhere. He attempted to strangle her, but she kept breathing, so he took off his shirt and held it over her face until she died. And sadly, later that morning, he left the hotel room and got two coffees and a cake and came back to the room and ate his breakfast where her body was.
Yeah, and this is all according to him, right? I mean, no one else was there to tell any other side of the story, so all we have to go off of is, you know, what... pathological liar's word, basically.
Yeah. I mean, two people go in, one comes out. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
Yeah.
Now, there were other reports that he beat her with a tennis racket, but no one knows exactly what happened. Just that two went in the room, one went out, one died. So the other one's obviously the guilty one of what happened to the other person. So he really couldn't get away with this one. But he did what he does best. And he ran. He tried to take off for Chile, but they got his ass. And he was actually brought back to Alabama after this to face those extortion and wire fraud charges. Of which, of course, he pled not guilty because he doesn't admit to anything. In January of 2012, he did actually plead guilty to Stephanie's murder, though, because he had no other option. And he was sentenced to 28 years in prison. This was right before Natalie was officially declared dead, because at this point it had been almost 7 years since she had disappeared. And oddly enough, he actually got married in the prison on the 4th of July in 2014 to a woman he met when she was selling goods inside the prison. And she was actually already 7 months pregnant with his child when they got married. And she gave birth to their daughter September 28th of 2014. Now, he did go on and ask for a divorce in 2022, as he said, and I quote, he had a new, younger, prettier girlfriend.
He's just one of the biggest tools I've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah. He's an ass.
Yeah.
And it gets better. Because in October of 2014, he was allegedly stabbed several times in his shoulder and stabbed again in his kidney while he was in prison. Officials say he stabbed himself.
Of course he did.
Right? Well, now this one I don't know, because he's such a dick that, and he was so hated.
And he might have got caught up in lies and everything else. And prison guys was like, no, we ain't having this. He probably shanked him.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> And I mean, these were bad enough. They were like 3 inches long. So he had to have them actually stitched up.
And he probably ain't smart enough to make his own shank or shiv or whatever.
True. That's true. But where they're at, he could have totally done it. Like, he can reach all the places that it did. But now, Euron's wife, though, said the prison is trying to cover it up because he's been a target since he went into prison because he's hated so much. And she believes that the other inmates were actually trying to kill him to bring publicity and possibly lead to the jail being shut down, because apparently this is a pretty tough jail to be in, which, okay, jail's not meant to be pleasant. It's a punishment.
Yeah, you're there for a reason.
Exactly. But he ended up eventually pleading guilty to the extortion and wire fraud charges in October of 2023, which was part of a plea deal that he made where he could plead guilty to the lesser charges and avoid the murder charges for Natalie, as long as he tells them the real story about what happened to Natalie.
You know, I can understand this, you know, all of it that happened to the, you know, with this asshole and everything, but you know, the family just wants to know what happened.
Right. They just need, like I said, once your kid disappears, I think it's, I'm going to say it. To me, it's worse.
Yeah.
If your kid disappears and you just have no idea what happened, where they are, what's going on.
Yeah. There's always a possibility that.
And you're constantly, for the rest of your life, looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no type of closure, good or bad.
Yeah.
Ugh, so sad. So he did take a polygraph test, and in the test, he told them that the brothers had dropped him and Natalie off at the beach, and he and Natalie were kissing, and he got a little handsy. She told him no, and he didn't take no for an answer, and he kept going. So she kneed him in the crotch, which Natalie's mom said in that press conference, she was so proud. And I am too. I'm proud of her. Stand up for yourself. Absolutely.
I mean, it's like the parents, raised her right.
That's right. Don't just take it.
Yeah.
But he got angry at that, and he kicked her in the face, and she lost consciousness. There was a cinder block beside them, so he picked it up, and he bludgeoned her, and then drug her body into the ocean.
So this is what gets me. Is like they said that he went knee deep and then pushed her into the ocean or whatever. And I mean, like, we have lakes around here. We don't have oceans or anything. But when we go knee deep and, I mean, and try to do anything, it goes right back to shore.
Right.
It just, the current and everything. So whenever, and we've been to the ocean. So we've been there on a calm day and everything. And just going out there, the tide is, I mean, it's still strong.
It's strong, yeah.
You have to be past that tide.
Knee deep is nothing.
For anything to stay out there.
Yeah. To take it out. Like, the point is to take her out, not bring her back.
That's why it don't make any sense to me, is like how it even makes any sense.
Oh, it doesn't.
No.
But he did pass this polygraph, and it was a very, foolproof polygraph. There's a bunch of big words that go along with it, but they're saying that this is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I still don't buy it, but
no. I mean, personally, I think that he knew somebody with a boat.
Right. I mean, you would think. And then here's the thing too: if he says, "I took her out," mm-hmm. knee deep, and then pushed her off. Maybe he did. So that would show up on the polygraph that he was right. But then when her body washed back up on shore, maybe he called somebody with a boat.
With a boat, yeah.
Who came and helped him out. So he's still telling the truth, yeah. air quotes. So they did, you know, some people do have the theory of the boat.
Yeah.
And, but his mom did say, I think she believes the story. It gives her something, not hope or closure, but it gives her something to go off of. And she did say in this press conference that Euron is no longer the suspect in my daughter's murder. He is the killer, which she's known that for a very long time anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole family knew that.
The whole world knew that.
Yeah.
That's why he's so loved everywhere mm-hmm. he goes. But sadly, since Natalie was murdered in Aruba, he can't be charged with it in America. And the statute of limitations for murder in Aruba is only 12 years. Plus, Euron was a minor when the crime took place. So that has to play a part in it, too. But they did want to reiterate that this is still an open case that they are investigating in Aruba.
And maybe that's why they're... Maybe that's why he's coming out and taking a plea deal now, you know, so he can use the information of what he did to get a lighter sentence on his charges and you know, thinking that it would clear the cop clear with the cops in Aruba.
All right, but they're not stopping. They said they're going to keep this open.
Absolutely.
So good. Hopefully, you know, they can get a little more or somebody come forward or something. And he seems to like all the attention. We can tell because he just keeps opening his mouth every chance he gets. Mm-hmm. And he was involved for so many years with all the false confessions to anybody who would listen, the extortion. He's just a narcissistic asshole. But he does have his 28-year sentence in Lima for Stephanie's murder. But his 20-year sentences in America will run concurrently with that 28-year sentence. So after all is said and done, he'll likely be a free man when he's 58 years old.
Yeah, that's just fucked up. But one thing I did like was whenever they seen the brother in the interview where he was like, you know, when I see him out and about, he's like, I'm going to whoop his ass.
Yeah, I mean, Natalie's brother.
Yeah, Natalie's brother, yeah. And I was like, you know what, I'd be the same way. And if I was in that courtroom, I'd be the guy that caught a case just for jumping over the pillars and getting him.
Yeah, right I'm then. Shocked he didn't because he was very adamant that this is happening.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care if you guys record this. He goes, record it all you want. I'm going to whoop his ass when he gets out.
And he smiled when he said it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else are you going to do after all this time and all the stuff that he did? Like I said, all the confessions and the bullshit that he put this family through for nothing.
Yeah.
Ugh, it was just so sad.
Yeah. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Please tune in next time. And please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Yes.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Bye.